Okay, I'm gonna move over to GF6. I'm gonna take my office over. Alright, personnel, 6110-30. Council, take a moment to absorb that.
I do have a question on the wages.
Yes, ma'am.
That is also 5% across the board. And does that include, are we giving a 5% to our reserve officers?
Yes. Well, oh, no, yes. It was. Yes, I'll take it back.
And semantics, we don't have any reserves.
Yeah.
We have full-time and part-time.
Full-time and part-time.
Gotcha.
Yes, and so they go from...
Threw me all that one, but yes.
Yeah, they go from 725, which they've been since that was the new minimum wage 6 or 7 years ago, to 762. It's not a huge leap. But one of the things you understand with our part-timers, their overtime is not time and a half. Their overtime is double time. And so when they, and it also it doesn't require them to hit 40 hours. So when they work a shift for a full-time officer and they fill in a full-time slot, those hours they get paid double time. And so it gets to be a reasonable amount of money at that point.
Which officers are these? These Finley and
this
Ford?
Finley, Ford, and...
Loveless?
Yes, Loveless.
We have to remember, we were actually going to, at the last budget hearing, we were going to take out paying part-timers altogether. Said, no, it's not doing that because, one, they need to get something for being here. Now, a lot of departments don't pay. They call them reserves or part-timers. But, you know, I personally think they should be paid. I wish I could pay them more than what they're making when they come out here because, you know, they have a requirement to meet, yes. But they're also putting their life on the line like any other officer. The bullet hits you either way. They don't care what who if you're reserved. They're not looking for that when you're out there on the street. But, you know, and I've had other officers ask myself at one time, one of the part-timers here, you know, at least it pays for any duty stuff you may need for your gear bag or something like that. And at least it's something. So, you know, I think they're worth every penny of it for sure.
Yeah, let me make one comment on there as well. We used to have 7 full-time officers. And in budget cuts in 14-15, we removed that slot. So we have 6 officers, and that includes the chief. And you can't staff 24/7 without all 6 working the street. And we use our part-timers to fill slots for vacation and sick time, and they're very valuable to us. And even so, there's a number of day shifts that the chief has to cover just to keep the ball going. So, you know, if we used to have 5, and we're down to 3. They're very hard to find, and I think they're worth every penny we pay.
I think that those 3 officers, and my hat goes off, Mr. Lillis hasn't been here that long, but Mr. Ford, Steve Ford and Finley, outstanding gentlemen. I mean, they have been here, and they show up. Mr. Ford now is retired, but he does have a life. But when they need him, they pick up the phone, they're here. So my hat is off to all 3 of them, and I greatly appreciate their service.
You know, Finley's a Houston fireman. Ford is a retired Houston fireman. They both started here in 2007. So they've been very dependable, loyal employees for us. Lovelace is the newest in the group, and you've probably seen him. He's worked a lot of weekends. And when we were really short, we put him on a temporary full-time agreement, a contract. And so he worked full-time for us for about 3 months so that we could cover things when we didn't have a chief.
Under the personnel block, any questions? Anything that you have a red pen for?
Just for clarification, though, for the record, last year when we were looking at thinking about contemplating cutting, paying our part-timers,
mm-hmm.
part of the reason we decided to keep that in was because we've been without a chief. We had major turmoil going on, and so they were filling in, I mean...
quite a bit.
A lot more than what is usual.
Yes.
And that's why we said, we're going to leave it in. But I do agree, especially since we did not fill that one vacant... There was a vacant position for there forever, that it was just kind of placeholding. And so I have no problem keeping them paid.
Maintenance and supplies, starting with 6210-30, that block section.
$7,500, right? That's for the AEDs to go in all.
Yes, ma'am.
Vehicles.
That's where we put that $7,500, correct?
How many is that?
For each, is it each car?
Yeah, that's just for the police vehicles.
Police vehicles only.
How many is that?
That was four.
I think that's four.
Four.
So I have a little problem with that. I don't think we need AEDs in every vehicle.
They can come in and chip and pick them up and put them in their patrol car and carry them back
and forth. First of all, they really, the way those are designed, they really need to be mounted on a wall with charger or whatever. And then, as you said, as a patrolman comes on, pulls it out, because, first of all, these things need to be inspected on a regular basis. And there should be like a checkoff card or sheet or something that before they put it in their vehicle, they open it up, make sure everything is in place, check off on the card, initial it or whatever, and then take it with them on their patrol. When they get through with their patrol, put it back. And I know that one of the things that David Jennings had mentioned is putting an AED in every vehicle in the city, and once again, I'm going to balk at that, because those things are really not designed to go bouncing around the trunk of a vehicle. They're supposed to be mounted someplace where they're accessible. As I said before, you can take them off the wall, you can put them in your vehicle for whatever time you're on duty or whatever. And, you know, overall, I think four for the whole city would probably suffice. Put one in City Hall, put one in Public Works, two over in the police station, and, like I said, check them out as they need to be done. We don't need to put them in every vehicle, my opinion.
Now, we do have one in the police department.
Yes,
mm-hmm. We do have one.
But a lot of times, it's my understanding that the guys will just flat out forget to put it in their car.
Well, I will tell you.
I think that's something that needs to.
That's training.
Speaking
of law enforcement, and I'm sure Jerome's going to fall right behind me on this. I actually look at the police cars, and I actually look at public works cars, and I actually look at the drivers, and I watch them too. I pay attention, and, you know, this is something that, hey, it's a great idea, and it is. It really is. If you have the money, but when it comes down to a police car or a public works car, it's going to get tore up. It's going to get broken. It's shaking around a whole lot. Eventually, some of the parts inside may come loose. You know, having one stationed in City Hall and one at the police department, I think would be sufficed. When you start changing the amount of vehicles, after a while, people are going to stop doing it. And the thing about it is, you also have to think about them. You know, you think about liabilities. Good Samaritan protects you. But if you're not trained and you don't do it on a regular basis, the pictures are there where to place the pads and stuff. But when the adrenaline's going, it's not something you do very often. You can create issues also. To me, they're a lot of money, and the thing about it is, it may last for a short time, and then they won't make it. You know, it's not like it's a clotting agent, like bandages. That's simple stuff. You know, first aid kits. I know personally, I bought a couple first aid bags for the police cars and donated them to the chief last year, and they've got the things that you need. But when it comes down to an AED, I just see what I see happening is, just like I saw with a radar gun, and it got bounced around, and the next thing you know, it's broke and this and that. I mean, it's a great idea, but I think if it's in a central location, it's not where you can just grab it, but if somebody does go down, there's a possibility one of the officers come by, pick it up, and go. There again, we're hoping that Clemcy can be here within 5 minutes, you know, or so, but it's just a catch-22. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Jerome?
I would say the idea, in theory, is wonderful. The reality of being in patrol cars, I don't know how many times I've locked off my brakes, everything that was in the front seats on the floor, everything's upside down, I don't know how much stuff has gotten broken, damaged, or if I have a drink in the car, now I've got Coke or coffee on everything, so in theory, great idea. What I'd rather do is buy one for the city hall, one's across the street, one's here, and then what I'd like to do is have every city employee trained with CPR. Because I know that my 10 years as a police officer, I saved three and lost one doing CPR. And if they can get to do CPR first just till Clemson gets here, that's better than a AED, especially if they hook it up wrong.
That's what a lot of our officers do anyway. They've saved numerous lives in the city.
An AED is an awesome thing to have now. But, you know, we're moving into the new age of things happening. I mean, I give it 5 more years in Houston, you're going to see drones bringing AEDs to you. They're doing it already in the UK, and it's an awesome thing. And I think once they regulate it, get it fixed. I mean, but bottom line, I you know, when you talk about that, that's what I'm saying is the same thing, is that one here, one over there, and the training, we can get the training for free.
And the aspect of the city employees being everywhere, they're always up and down the road.
Doing
and
your own thing.
If you see some of the first thing you're going to do, if you see a city car, you're going to try to stop them. Hey, I have someone hit the ground out here. I need help. They can grab radio or phone, get help on the way, and then they can start CPR.
Okay.
We've already got one in the PD, though. It's in good shape.
I don't know. I can't.
I would probably say it is because it's mounted on the wall.
Okay.
So I say,
I don't know when the last time it was calibrated.
Can you check into that for us and see what kind of condition that's in? Because I agree, though, we need at least two in the city.
And cut it to buy one. If we have one, buy one this budget. If we need another one next year, buy another one next year. But here's something we can cut. That's a pretty good hit right there.
Yeah. Can you look into that, Rick, and see what the if that one's in good condition and give us a unit cost?
So what you're looking at is dropping it down to about $2,000, then from $7,500 to
$2,000? Yeah, and the check-in price is about $1,875, and that includes a case.
Which Zoll puts out a real good one. It's a green one that is real nice, and it's even got a block for the head on the mouth that's made for it, but whichever one we look at.
Yeah, that's a life pack, and it's a premium, so you can get a Phillips that's cheaper, or you need something else. But
so we're changing the 75 line item to 2,000. All right. Any other questions in maintenance and supplies?
Oh, wait a minute now. Okay, so you're changing the increase from 8,000 to 2,000.
Correct.
Under
small equipment.
Yep.
And then, Mr. Mayor, since we're on that topic, I know you were. You'd expressed that you were going to see if you couldn't get someone to donate some. Now, please don't forget, if that could happen, it would be optimal to have one in all the vehicles. But
I've actually got some calls and some people trying to see if someone would donate us a couple. I went for 3. I didn't want to ask for 7, so I went for 3. But, yes, I do have some calls out there made.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll have them before we have our next meeting. I'll have an idea if they said yes or no.
Thank you.
Any other questions on our maintenance and supplies? All right, moving down the block where it says services.
6375. The projected end of year, is that just a typo? It's got to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, we apologize for that.
The end of year is $18,617.50.
Didn't want to reprint all these again.
No,
David's
already
printed enough. So
there were 4 number changes, and they were all in the projected and not in proposed. So
okay.
I've saved a tree.
No, that's fine.
So why?
Dispatch contract.
That's it.
It's set as his contingency. There hadn't been anything really in the past. I'll explain that on the contingency also. We really had no backup there for something comes up. I know David and I talked about different things that could come up, and all of a sudden we have no money there. So I threw that out there. David, what else were we talking about?
We had contingency and back about 3 budgets, we gutted all the contingencies pretty much out. It turned out to be pretty important here. When we have and hopefully we don't have, but when the police department has a serious crime, there are lab fees that are exceptional. If we have rape kits, and then there's also hospital charges that we're obligated to pay. And so the chief finds that he has to go take money away from something else to pay those. They're unusual, but fortunately, knock on wood, we don't have that every year. But when we have a homicide or we have sexual assault, there are extraordinary expenses that pop up, and we'd like to have a contingency to cover that.
There again, like I said at the beginning of the meeting.
I don't have a question about that, but back up to prisoner services, why the $5,400 increase in that?
More people. It's like per person per night. It's like having a hotel.
Yeah. It's all there's a variable in there for when we have somebody in.
Okay.
But the $2,800, going back to that, you don't use it, you still got it. It doesn't mean we need to spend it. Okay. Thank you, Mike. GF7. Police Department expenditures, capital overlays, 6880-30, the only one on here. Vehicles. The bottom line, but you know, take the gloves off. The department has two Dodge Chargers that are both immensely rotating back and forth. They rotate out of the shop. I believe one's had a whole new head and block put in it, hadn't it, David? Completely.
We were just lucky that that was covered under.
Right. Well, they tried not to cover it. We've had from brakes, power steering pumps, to
electrical.
Electrical, just give it up. It's there's nothing been on them worked right. You know, they're just a rotating, floating hazard. Now, we did receive the new Tahoe that we have in service. I will reflect back on the old Tahoe, the white one that was used for CDL that the chief actually drives now. It shows you the differences. And we all know we don't do pursuits here in the city. We don't have, you know, 30-mile radius. Actually, it's harder on our cars than it is others because they start and stop constantly. That Tahoe is still running strong. So I had talked to the chief and Mr. Stahl both, and you know, we all agreed that the Tahoes are the way to go. Cars are just not our issue. Not to mention the fact that if we do get, and God bless we don't, but if we were to get another hurricane, we want to get a little bit higher off the ground. And the bottom line is, you know, that vehicle is just as safe as driving a car, and you have more room. So, and we're not having, all we've done, I believe, is changed up. Battery, I believe, in that white Tahoe?
And the oil.
Well, but I think the only thing that's gone out is a battery. That ought to tell you the longevity of the Tahoe versus the Dodge Chargers. So, with that being said, you know, we're looking at this amount of revenue here, but that's for two vehicles, and that's going to be tight, extremely tight. That's not totally decking these vehicles out. I mean, this is, David, what's the price per vehicle now that you, what you got closest to on them?
Yeah, it's about 32, and then there's equipment that goes with that.
And you're looking at another 6 to 8 with equipment.
There's two sets of equipment. We do best getting push bumper and those kinds of things put on by the dealer when we purchase it.
Correct.
And then there are other items like the radar and radios that you don't get from the auto dealer. So it gets in the two pieces. If there's some good news that I just discovered, there is an oversight back on the revenue side on GF2 for other income. It shows $10,000, and that's supposed to be $20,000. I didn't adjust that when the mayor put the cars in. We get at least $10,000 back in the sale of the Dodges.
That's correct.
And that's pretty conservative. It's kind of amazing. We send our cars to public auction, and they do a Houston public auction. They do a really good job for us, and actually people have been overpaying us for those Dodges. I mean, they just like the body style and the muscle car.
Did we make $9,000 off the last one?
Yes,
it was unbelievable.
Did.
And let me tell you, I drove that car. There wasn't nothing left.
Yeah.
And we got $9,000 for that car. But hey, that's fine. If they want to think it's a hot rod, that they can have it all day long because it was a nice police car.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
So I would bump that number up to $20,000.
But, you know, and the thing about it is, Austin, mind you, everything in the old cars, there's nothing transferring to the new. And you don't want anything, radios, laptops, cameras, there's nothing that's in our cars now. It's all antiquated. We don't even have a fixed radar for working patrol. We only have a handheld. We have officers working with a halfway job. You don't give them the tools to do their job. I mean, you know, when you go out to the road, you know, working radar, when you park on the other side of the hump coming over, you know, getting in and out of your car with a handheld gets old versus having a fixed mount where they can sit there and then take off. So there's a lot of things we don't have. Our camera systems, especially in this day and time, need to be working. We need to have the proper type camera systems. You know, we don't want to fall into one of these plagues that one of these cities have fallen into working traffic on 146.
I will say this, if we do get two new Tahoes, and I'll just make a prediction, that the productivity of our police officers will go up anywhere from 12 to 18% this next year because of the fact they're going to be back in what I would call an actual patrol car.
Morale boost.
Morale boost, number one.
Well, and they're more comfortable, and I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Number two is LaPorte, in their budget, they bought 7 of them. And strictly because of the advantages it has, and they bought 2 cars that we'll call ghost cars.
Yeah.
Now, the ghost cars are going to be on 146-225 Underwood and Fairmont. And they are just smoking some tickets right now. I think each officer is writing over 150 a month. I mean, I don't know what the revenue brings, but in those...
But we don't do that to write revenue.
No, and, you know, I'm just saying, though, they're going to be more responsive, and they're going to have that extra little step, and that's what you want your people to have, because they're going to be saying, you know what, they're taking care of us. It's a positive attitude.
Now, these numbers, because I know that our new Tahoe isn't even fully equipped. Is this including all the striping, all of the... lighting, okay.
Is that through HGAC?
Yes.
You're not going to get a better deal than that, folks.
And then when we purchase new, just thinking even if we can trim a little, they're going to come with good warranties, I would assume. Now, are they maintenance-free as well to where that you take it to, into the dealership and they will do the oil change at no charge every 3,500 miles or whatever?
I'm not sure.
I just wonder if we can decrease our maintenance budget some if we're going to have 2 brand-new cars and one that's only a year old.
Well, technically, you're saving money in the long run, and I'm sure that they are not going to do that oil change or like that.
The first one might be free.
Yeah, the first one might
not
be free.
Not police car.
Okay.
If just the oil being changed versus all the alternators, the belts, the hoses, the brake shoes, the brakes, we're
right.
coming way above schedule.
I mean, I don't have a problem with 2 new cars.
You know, when we were on a 2-year rotation, our vehicle maintenance was under $4,000.
And that's all we need to get
on. And then we stopped doing that rotation and...
Okay. Page GF-8. Parks Department expenditures. Personnel 6110-40. That block section. Any questions from council? I'm sorry, Alan. I know it's burning me up.
Okay. Let's see. Now... we don't have someone in parks, do we, correct, right now?
That's correct.
And did we last year?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we did. And
we did until about a month ago.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to be putting a 5% raise on that position that is not filled right now?
No.
Okay.
We are on the budget number, but not on what gets paid.
No, correct.
And what exactly does that person do?
Pardon?
What exactly does this person do?
Well, we have 3 people who largely do the same field maintenance job. We're just paying them out of different budgets. This is the lowest level, and that the expectation is not necessarily that they have the water and sewer licenses, although there is certification pay in there to encourage them to do that. The primary duty of the parks person is just that. They drive the entrance of the city from Highway 146 to the waterfront in Miramar and then the parks every day and pick up all the trash out of the median. If you didn't pack the trash up out of the median on Chargers Boulevard every day, you wouldn't be able to see the grass after a week. It's incredible. But that's the first task that they do. And then they do all the types of maintenance of our, everything other than mowing. They don't do mowing, but they do painting and they do all the that type of activity, and they assist with water and sewer and utilities work, and they even read water meters when we do our monthly water meter reading.
Any other questions under the personnel section? Now, being able to move over to maintenance and supplies, the 6225-40, when you're looking at there in maintenance, David, on 6250, I'm skipping down here because it raised my. We had 2050, what we had projected, and we got 4 grand. I'm trying to remember what. We start off with 5.
Are you talking about fuel?
The fuel.
The fuel?
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to remember, there was a question on that when we did this. I was trying to think what it was, and I can't, the usage. Was that just for the Polaris?
No, that was for the Polaris and for
the tractor too, wasn't it?
The backhoe.
Backhoe.
And I, you know, and we can change this whenever somebody wants to change it, but for some reason, historically, forever, the backhoe has belonged to the Parks Department. Go figure. I would think it's Public Works. But we have always paid for the backhoe and the backhoe maintenance and fuel out of parks, which, of course, is diesel, not gas. Makes no difference to me.
So that could be reduced.
And the only reason that I have not pushed to move it to another department is so that you have the historical cost data.
Yeah.
And once you move it, then you kind of lose that connection.
Why don't we move that to 2,500 while we're talking about it? I mean, what does everybody think about that?
Dropping the fuel?
Yeah.
I would like to go back and see why last year we ended at 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been because of fuel prices last year, too.
I was thinking we were jacked up to $4 a gallon almost.
Well, diesel was,
diesel
me,
was always,
I know,
yeah.
It was
and
real
diesel
bad.
Diesel just got right at $2.35.
Yeah, I mean, we had quite a bit rolling in there on that, so.
All right, what number do you want to be?
25.
25.
All right.
See, I redlined myself. Any other questions in that section? I'm sorry, that was just something that got my eye. So everyone is okay with maintenance and supplies. Moving down to services, 6315-40.
Man, we can't do any better on $28,000 a year.
Exactly.
I'm just curious, or is it that much area to cover and mow?
Actually, this is a super bargain. What this contract service is to mow the medians and all of the city properties. So they do City Hall Garden, they do City Hall, they do Miramar Waterfront, they do Heron Park, there's a portion that's grass. They mow Circle Park, which is 4 acres, or two acres, I guess, 2 acres. There's a couple more. They do over in LaPorte on Oak Leaf, where we've got a lot.
They did the Bayou for on that other side of Bayou. We have that property, or
that's the one that's LaPorte.
It's LaPorte,
that,
okay.
That residential property. We used to have a person here, an employee that did the mowing, and we paid that person benefits and the maintenance and upkeep on the mowers and everything, and it was costing us about $42,000 a year. And I turned around and contracted that out, and we reduced the staff by that one, and we went out for quotes, including from two residents, and nobody came in for less than $40,000 a year to do the same work. They mow every 2 weeks.
It just caught me off guard. I had no idea that.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that in every budget meeting, but it comes back to the same thing.
Go get the AED and give it to me. Okay.
Yeah. It's not the volume of grass, it's that it's all split up and all over the place. You know, you got to get on and off medians and they edge it. And then part of our deal is 4 times a year down at Troyer's Boulevard, they mow the median. And then 4 times a year, they mow 5 feet on the outside curbs where we have all those vacant lots and keep that knocked down. So.
Who is the contractor?
It's Gabby's Tree Service.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I'm sorry.
No, we changed that.
No, that's right, we did change. Integrated. They changed their name.
I can't think of the name, but yeah. I know we changed from Gabby.
Yeah, and, but we did. We have twice gone out for proposals to get quotes. We don't put out for bid per se, but put out for quotes, and they're double.
Wow. Okay.
When was the last time we put it up, David?
It was. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I had one of our residents that's in the business ask me about that, and I said, I tell you what, before we go through all that effort, let me just show you the invoices and what we pay them. And he said, I, there's something wrong there. They, you know, and frankly, a little accusatory that they didn't have insurance or they were paying under the table, or because he couldn't touch it, couldn't even get close.
Okay. Thank you.
Capital overlays. See that
playground equipment.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of playground equipment are we talking about for $10,000?
That's not expensive.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you'd be talking about fall zone material around the existing or a slide unit. And
this is just maintaining what we have out there?
It's just an incremental increase of a piece of something new. Otherwise, you're looking at $45,000 to $75,000.
Well, I know. We've talked about that before.
Just recently.
Astronomical cost of that modular equipment and all the things that...
You know, it's dying a slow death. Every year we go out there and we retire something and we pull it out. And so the thought here was to be able to go in and, you know, not replace everything, but put a new little addition on or piece on and over time do the opposite.
Most everything out there, well, all the metal is powder coated. It's not just regular paint, so it lasts longer. But, I mean, you know, I was talking to David about this, and then I was looking at some prices that David showed me on some different playground equipment. It's like, my God, it makes you nauseated to think playground equipment would be that expensive. There's just, I mean, goodness, you got to have a chunk of change when you go into that stuff.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On the contract service for mowing, have we ever entertained the thought of buying a mower ourselves? We've got 5 full-time parks, water, et cetera, department personnel. We're down 2 right now. Have we ever thought about using that money one time, investing in our own mower and having our own people mow? And if we're not doing that, then why do we have 5 full-time people?
I don't see how you could get things done with just one person, because they bring out 3 or 4. I mean, just doing the center median, they've got 3 or 4 of them working now.
Well, and that's exactly where we started. We had our own mower equipment. We had 0 turn, and we had tractor, and we had a full-time employee. And all during the mowing season, we'd do the mowing and do other things, and then the winter time would come along, and it was an excess employee we tried to get them to do painting and things, but the cost for getting the mowing done was substantially higher, which is why we went to contracting it out, let somebody else worry about the maintenance and getting people to show up. And the mowing is one of those things, it's like the meter reading. It has to happen on a cycle. Right. We have to read meters the first month. So no matter what breaks you've got and what other issues are going on, we got to read meters. The mowing kind of fell into that same thing. If we had other projects going on, other construction going on, and we couldn't break loose to do mowing, it wasn't long and we were getting more calls about high grass than we were about not having water.
But wasn't that back when we only had 3 full-time? Was that when we had the Ralph, the Eloy, and the 2 Ralphs?
We had 4 at that time. That was the 4th person. We went down to 3.
We're going to take a point of privilege for about 5 minutes. Anybody needs to stretch your legs to the restroom? We don't have to dismiss, correct? David, I can take a point of privilege for everyone.
Yeah, you can just recess.
I'm going to recess.
If you're going to lose a quorum, then you need to recess.
Okay, well, then I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and recess for 10 minutes. 7:30. How about 7:35? I think we're all feeling it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to run upstairs if Mike's in the other way.
Did they say that that might include a new bit of playground equipment for the supply?
Yes.
I remember, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, we had a budget amount there, but we were only able to get 1 picnic table. And those are like
$750.
You happen to have a lot of real estate under your...
Are they still that high?
Yes. But in terms of their cost, it's really lower because they outlast the wood and metal. You know, there's a metal frame and wood. They don't hold up. And these expanded ones that are expanded and dipped, man, we're getting very long lifetime.
One of the 2 brown ones inside the gazebo, for the last 2 years, has been missing a brace underneath it, coming from the leg, outside leg, going out. There's a piece of pipe that I'll give you a 3x5 guard or something.
Pardon?
Oh, I was going to say one of
no, those. I've got my to-do list. I'm just going to put it here.
It's missing a corner brace. Now, or coming from the outside, going to the middle or whatever. You'll see it. You've got the two tabs where it was attached. And I have seen kids tipping them so that you put the wheelchair part down on the edge and riding their bikes up over the top.
Kids will do whatever they can ingeniously come up with.
Never a short
that's what kids do.
That's when there's kids out there.
Yeah.
Now, on the weekends, we have a lot of, maybe not a lot, frequently there's a family gathering of whomever, whatever, over there. A bunch of balloons, so I'm assuming it's a kid's birthday party or something. Even if we could only get one or two more picnic tables. I don't think we want to go into putting a charcoal pit or anything like that over there. I think that'd be too much.
So we currently have two of the PVC dipped tables there. Is that right?
Three.
Three.
We have two brown ones inside the gazebo.
And then a green one?
And we have a green one out toward the ballpark.
Okay, the green one's the newest then.
The green one is the newest, yeah.
All right.
The other point of contention from some of my neighbors that have small kids that come back covered in pink rashes, the hedges around the outside of the gazebo have poison something. Poison sumac, poison ivy, poison oak, poison whatever. It has kind of a oak-looking leaf, small ones that turn reddish looking. And the kids come home and they're covered with a rash.
We should be able to.
And that's growing up out of the little head, scrub that goes around between the railing and the
okay. Thing. We should be able to get that. What else you got?
I've never seen any problem other than the perhaps aroma. Or odor.
Is it a sweet smell?
Oh, no, no, not. I'm talking about going into the restroom.
Oh. Yeah, I wonder if they use any chemical in there to knock that down.
I don't know. I'm just wondering if people go in there and don't necessarily flush. Because during the day, at least 7:30 in the past, before Memorial Day, before in the spring, when I was actually able to walk around there in the morning, see a lot of pickup trucks coming by, people running in and out of the restaurant. I'm assuming they've got a gig or a job somewhere. They're doing this there, doing that somewhere else, and they're in and out. But since my back cacked it up and everything over Memorial Day, I have not been as diligent in the mornings going around there as I used to be. There's no way I can. But yeah, it's good to see the park being used. It's good to hear kids laughing. I have noticed in the evenings when you've got the kids and the cheerleaders and everything else out there, there's a lot of litter. It seems over on the west side of the park, going from gazebo down around to people just take their car ashtrays and just, it takes a while, but it dissipates, but still.
Well, the butts don't dissipate.
No, they're blown into the grass and covered over by the grass.
Dinner would be nice.
You're halfway.
We're getting there. We got Jerome.
Those are kind of unique.
These? Actually, I have two pairs.
Those are ridiculously expensive.
I didn't see that.
No, that's our view about that.
That's why I get it.
Crown Plaza's coming up. Downtown.
I think it's going to be good.
Huh.
Okay, folks, we're going to come back in from recess at 7:36 on the budget workshop here in Shore Acres. Starting off on page GF9 was our next one. We finished up from GF8. Public Works expenditures, personnel 6110-50 in that block section. Any questions from council?
Now, is that going to, on the personnel, is that a 5% raise on the vacant position that we have there?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. Is that correct, David?
Yes, something's good.
All
right. Yeah, okay.
Any questions on that section? Okay. Moving down the next block, maintenance and supplies, 6210-50. Any questions in that block section?
Under the storm drainage and maintenance, being that we're, is that pretty much a set number, or is that just annually about what we end up spending?
It is the amount we spend.
Okay.
We just pull the number out of the air. We spend that on having ditches recut. So we contract to have someone bring a grade all in. We do it in two different passes. So we have them come out. We look at what areas need the drainage. This is just maintenance, getting them back on flow line. Public Works will make a list of what is the priority and need. And we have the contractor come out and give us quotes on the linear footage, and then we strike off what we think can get done for $5,000 or less, as close to $5,000 as possible, and then the contractor comes out and does the work. And then we do it a second time in the year so that we take two hits at that. And so whatever's put in there, we spend every bit of it. We target a little bit low because sometimes when they come out, there'll be another piece that has to be done, and we want to make it work. I mean, so if there's a little more that needs to be done to make it work, then we have the money to do that. But the goal is to spend as close to $10,000 every year to stay up with maintenance of ditches. And it's no culvert work or anything. It's just strictly what you see the county do and what we do when we come out with a grade all and just dig it out.
Then 6281 street maintenance, that's another directed fund, is that correct? Limited?
That is correct. That is correct. That, and just for the new council members, we do a 0.25% street maintenance sales tax, and that's where the revenue comes from for that.
And you're good with office supplies, I see. Like.
Yes, office supplies includes office furniture and PCs. We're good on office furniture, and so the only thing that's in there this year is a replacement of a PC.
Okay.
Any other questions on maintenance supplies? All right, I'm going to check it off. I'm moving up to, to services, 6310-50. Any questions under that section?
We have a large amount of animals that are killed in our city. Whenever they are run over, who usually picks them up?
Public Works.
And then what do they do with that? Dispose of the animal? Just dumpster?
Yeah, exactly correct. And I would note there is a new line item in this budget that I'm really looking forward to for airtime radio shop fees. We got a grant 2 years ago and bought almost $50,000 worth of radios, two vehicle radios, and the balance of that were handhelds. We got two levels of handhelds. Originally, this was going to be one for emergency management and all the rest for the police department. It was an emergency management grant, but that's where they were going. then we, in the handhelds, we got the high-dollar handhelds are $4,500 a piece, and we got four handhelds that were about $3,000 a piece, so that we could stretch to get the extra radio. And those were to stay in the station and be used by our part-timers. And our first-line officers would all have the premium radio. We switched from Harris County to Houston on radios to follow LaPorte, who dispatches for us, and to be compatible. The $3,000 handhelds are not compatible with Houston. So we just had these brand new radios that were 6 months old, and the switch from Harris County to Houston rendered them unusable on the system. When we did that transition, I reallocated those from the police department to emergency management and left them on the Harris County system. And I'm going to reactivate those on their system. They're brand new radios. Reactivate on their system, and they're going to be given to Public Works. So the Public Works has radios, radio communication, which they have never had. They have nothing in the trucks, but we'll get good use out of that. The radio's already paid for. It's legitimate. If we have a hurricane or we have a disaster, it's emergency management. Public Works is our front line on doing those things. So, in essence, we're just repurposing that and going to get use out of something we already have.
On the handhelds, are they to be turned in daily, or do they stay with the individual employee?
This will be checked out to the employee.
Okay.
So it will be the top three.
Okay.
The last thing, we don't have to worry about cell phones being down. We have radio communication, so we have people throughout the city, which is going to make it nice. Any other questions under services?
Did we have a base unit for that, a repeater, or this is just strictly, what is our range on those? Can you talk?
Well,
do you have the range to go from Miramar to...
Yeah, it's a trunk system, so it will cover from the city of Galveston to Sealy to Beaumont.
Oh, yeah, you got...
It's on the Harris County system, and they really overlap outside of Harris County on that. And, plenty of coverage.
So if they pick up their walkie-talkie and say they're having lunch at Altiz, they're in trouble because that's Winnie.
Yeah. Which brings up another point. I have boxes up here that we did. When we took the radios out of the police cars that were no longer working on the... Because we had to buy... We only had two of the new ones, and they were compatible with Houston. So we had to buy two more to be compatible with Houston, and we had two good radios we pulled out. One of those radios will be turned into a base station radio for here, for City Hall, so that we can call Public Works in the field from here.
Any other questions under services?
No.
Moving over to GF-10, Public Works, Department Expenditures, Capital Overlays, 6820-50, Facilities, Equipment, Vehicles. I asked David, we put in here, I budgeted for one new replacement truck. Now the thing about it is we have one Polaris already. We've thought, talking about different things like ATVs and things like that. But when a truck, you have a bigger bed, and if you're at Miramar, you need parts and things you have to haul. You don't want to come over here, drop off, grab another vehicle. It just doesn't seem to make sense. You can't drive pulling a tandem axle trailer down the road with a ATV. You need to have a truck. It just seems like, and I'll be honest, the trucks, when I was talking to David, I was very surprised because I just bought two new trucks.
You're in the wrong place because that's not until that's utility fund.
Yeah.
That's UF3.
Yeah, this is the...
Oh, I'm
parking lot.
Yeah. I did look at the wrong one.
Yeah, damn, sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go over it anyway. So I did budget for one truck. So my apologies. I'm looking at the wrong page.
Yeah, that $15,000 is bringing some crushed concrete
that's the limestone we talked about.
Right.
All right, so I was backwards here. I'm a human. We did talk about the down over at the shop area where Public Works is. Every time it rains, it's a very large mud hole down there when you drive in that area. I think David had tried last budget. We looked at cement, correct, David? And then we put it all away. We talked about cement, and we took it out of the budget, didn't we?
We had gotten it back down to asphalt, and we had $35,000 in there to do the asphalt in there, and that got cut to $5,000 with the thought that we could come in and do something And then we discovered that if we don't solve the drainage, that there ain't anything we can do. So we've had the engineering done. The engineer, city engineers, come out and looked at where we can put culvert pipe in, tied into existing adjacent drainage, and then we can drain that.
So we had talked about, David feels, because he deals with prices on this all the time, that possibly a limestone for 15, we could get it done. I know if you look when it comes to big rains, it is a mudhole down there. That's all it is. So that's what that was projected. Now, with that being said, if the council feels they want them to stay that way, then there's an area that you want to cut. Let me know your thoughts.
My thought is going to be either we do that or we don't get the new truck, one or the other. And I personally think, don't get the truck. Let's fill that, because that's also affecting their personal vehicles when they have to go in and park. So it's not just a matter of city vehicles.
So say there's a reason why I bought the truck up first. I have to be honest, folks. I've looked at this so much. I'm in the day.
It's okay.
Now. But, you know, so I'll tell you, so we're going to leave this line item. When we get to the truck, we'll access it. Okay, so then we're going to move on from GF10 to the next page.